Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. I hope everyone's doing well. I hope you're enjoying your summer. I hope you're enjoying your August. We are in August. It gets hot in August. And enjoy your summer, because then after that we have September, and then before you know it, the leaves colors, they start falling to the ground. Oh, the nightmare begins, because I got to rake all those leaves, and then I got to put them in the curb, and then the snow comes, and then I got to take out the shovels and the salt, and oh my goodness. Enjoy your summer. Enjoy what you have left. Bask in the sun. Relax. Get yourself a hammock. Lie in it. Fall asleep, get some Z's, get some rest, enjoy the birds and their chirps. Enjoy. Well, listen, we have a great show in store for you. We're talking about con men in the church. You know, every now and then a con man will come to you and say, I'm turning a new leaf. But don't you believe it. You know, how many guys have I encountered in a counseling session whose wife is caught red-handed with another woman? And then in those counseling sessions, the husband gets all weepy-eyed and he gets on one knee and he says, baby, I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to turn a new leaf. And the wife buys into it and says, okay, honey, we're going back home. We're going to start again. And bam, next week I get a call. Pastor, he's at it again. The scoundrel is at it again. So without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ, because we're going to be talking about Mr. Creflo Dollar. Now, you would think that if Creflo Dollar really repented, his repentance would start first and foremost by changing his name from Dollar. I would change it to Creflo Holy or to Creflo something else, but I would change the Dollar. What do you say, Sister AJ?
Yes, I think I would too. Maybe a like the Lord would do sometimes in the Bible, with the change of heart came a name change.
Absolutely. Now, we listen, Creflo ain't repenting of nothing. No. Because if you repent, you got to give back that jet that they gave you $65,000, $65 million for, excuse me. You got to give everything back. And what has he given back? Nothing. Nothing.
Not one dime that I've heard of. Maybe he'll get to that eventually. What do you think?
I doubt it. I doubt it. But this is why people should get up and do a class action suit, because this guy lied to them.
Yes.
And it's all on, and, it's and all not, on video.
And now all he wants to just be able to get up and say, oops, my bad.
Right.
Why should I trust what you have to say now? How do we know it's not just another scam?
Correct.
Especially when you look at him and he doesn't seem very repentant. Last week you notice how he's got that cat that ate the canary grin on his face all the time.
Sure. I mean, I'm saying, wait a minute. This is a guy that's supposed to repent like Jimmy Swagger repented. At least Jimmy Swagger was squinting his eyes and trying to squeeze, you know, tears out.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe Creflo should have pulled up some old video of Jimmy so he could at least try to make it look sincere.
Right, and I mean, for a while there, you had Jim Baker in prison writing and telling people he had repented and he was sorry for all the stuff that he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we can't trust Creflo, and we can't trust not one of these preachers, not one. Now, you know, that's like a fox coming to where the chickens are and saying, you know, I want to apologize to all you chickadees because for the last 30 years I've been eating your parents, and I just want to say I'm sorry. Right? I want to say I'm sorry for, you know, eating your parents up. Now, I promise I won't do the same to you. Now, what kind of an apology is that? That's a joke.
It's not one that I would take seriously. And it doesn't seem to be anybody in there that's saying, you know, wait a minute, this man lied to us. Everyone seems to be just taking it all in and swallowing it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, if you robbed me for 30 years and you say I'm sorry, guess what's going to happen? We're gonna have a talk with the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that
simple. Or a lawsuit or something.
Sure, absolutely.
Or I certainly wouldn't be quick to trust you in any type of close relationship, that's for sure. I would have to see a lot more for me to even begin to think Creflo has changed, because in the Bible, when John the Baptist was baptizing people, and some people were listening to his preaching, and they said, well, what should we do? And he told them to put forth fruit meat for repentance. You know, if you stole, don't steal anymore. You know, be content with your wages. You know, the tax collectors quit skimming and charging people. You know, he went through these things that would demonstrate that they were truly repentant. And I'm just not convinced.
Right. Right. No, Listen, if I was, again, in a counseling session and a husband had been caught with another woman, and he would have Creflo's face saying to his wife, I'm sorry. And he's got that grin. The wife's not buying it. The wife's not buying it. Because she would say to him.
Probably seen that grin 1,000 times before.
Right. Sure. So, no, I don't think anyone's seriously buying it other than the people he's got under his control.
Yeah. That's what it looks like. Most people are not buying it, at least any commentary that I've watched about it. They just, no, this isn't, this is just repackaging and rebranding.
Right. Absolutely. And the thing is, these people have these mega structures. They know, look, they know that the church in the United States is on the decline. They know people aren't going back. They know, now, of course, listen, Creflo and people like Creflo and T.D. Jakes and all the others, they're big enough that they can survive on the net. They're big enough. They're big enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, it's not what's going to happen in their time. It's what's going to happen in their children's time. See, when you look at, remember Kenneth Hagin, right?
Yes.
That ministry was thriving as long as Daddy was around. When Daddy died, that ministry cratered because Junior couldn't keep it up. The same thing has happened with Oral Roberts' ministry. While Daddy was there, it was strong. But when Junior took over, it cratered. You look at Jerry Falwell's ministry, the Baptist, Jerry Falwell, right? While Daddy was there, it was strong. As soon as Jerry Falwell Jr. took over, cratered. See, it's these guys are into legacy. When you go to these churches, that's what you hear about, legacy. Because like any pharaoh, they want their pyramid to stand for the ages. So I believe Creflo is setting this thing up for the next generation of Creflos.
Right.
You know, look at Fred Price. Junior messed that thing up. He messed it up.
Yeah.
And Daddy died.
I don't know if he's still doing as well as his father, especially after Junior got caught in some whatever it was.
Right. So, no, the second generation always messes it up. The second generation, look, David did a good job, and then Solomon came and messed it up. Oh, but Solomon built the temple. No, but Solomon took on 1,000 concubines and wives.
Right.
And then as a result of that, God punished him for serving his wife's gods, and there was a split in the kingdom. That's how the split
Only
came about because of Solomon's sin.
Only one I can say did surpass his father would probably be Joel Osteen. I can't think of anybody else.
Right. And, you know, Joel, he's not clean.
No.
You know, he's not completely clean. He's taking his lumps. I mean,
right.
They've been beating up on Joe for years.
Right.
I mean, they've been beating up on Joe, and then he's had a few missteps.
Right.
So, you know, but these guys are so big. Look, out there in the ocean, if you are one of those cruise ships that has 1,000 passengers and you're out there in the water, if my little rowboat hits you, there's going to be a dink. You know, you're going to hear, there's going to be a crash, but
mm-hmm.
you're going to keep on rolling because you can't, a steamship that big, it takes an iceberg to bring that down. Right? So Joel
right.
Osteen, he'll have his iceberg, and all these guys will have their iceberg. But right now, they are trying to survive. They're trying to see how many lifeboats they have. What can they do,
mm-hmm.
right, to keep the thing afloat? Because here's the thing.
Right.
Creflo still has that plane. That if he wants to fly that baby, he better be gas for it. Sure. So, it is what it is. There might be some other reasons that we are unaware of, but the bottom line is they got to keep the money coming in because a lot of it is ego and a lot of it is,
greed.
Greed. There's a lot at stake here, so let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. So, but it's all very interesting. It's all very, very
yes.
interesting.
Yes, it is.
Because we don't know, we really don't know what the motive is. What's the motivation? I'm guessing what it is. I'm guessing.
Yeah, the sweet and sour sniffles probably forced him to do some things that he didn't think he would do. And now he's been tweaking this message for a while, but I think in the wake of all of that, he had he was desperate to do more to get people to continue to give. And give the illusion that they're free to give. You know, it's not really that they're free to give, but he wants to make them think
right.
that they're free.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's where we are. I'm pretty sure all these other guys are tweaking their ministries too.
Mm-hmm. Probably so.
Because, yeah. Look, down in New York City, there's a whole monkeypox thing. I had to call a friend yesterday in New York City. It was her birthday. And I said, how are you guys doing down there? She goes, oh, there's a monkeypox outbreak. So I said, where are you going for your birthday? She said, didn't you hear me? There's a monkeypox outbreak. I said, so what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, so having gone through COVID, some people just don't want to deal.
Right.
So
exactly.
That not only does that include restaurants, that includes churches. So here we go again.
Something else is brewing, so.
Right. Right. So here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. It is what it is. So, well, I got all the audio here ready, lined up, so you want to set this up?
Okay, well, as you stated, we're going to look at Creflo and continue looking at him and his so-called repentance. And I think it may have been last week or the week before or somewhere you kind of mentioned that a lot of these guys, when they're getting ready to transition into something or a new sermon series or just a new theme or whatever it is, what they like to do is prime the pump and get the people ready. And the ways that they do that, they'll have a conference or a revival or some kind of special service where they're bringing someone to not only preach their agenda to the people, but also to quote unquote prophesy over the pastor for his new mission. And I found this audio where Creflo did that earlier this year, in February, I think, is when this was done. And he had Clarence McClendon come in and preach this sermon about grace and stuff like that. And then he prophesied over Creflo and Taffy. So this first clip that we're going to listen to is that prophesy, and I put that in quote, prophecy, and I put that in quote of Clarence with Creflo and Taffy in this great gospel of grace thing.
Oh,
so that's,
okay.
That's what this first audio is. It's about 6 minutes or something like that.
All right, let's listen to this. Of course, Bishop McClendon here, he used to be one of the preachers from L.A., and that show was bust.
Yeah.
And he's one of the pretty boys of the church.
He was always on TVN.
TVN was always calling him for those begathons. And since he lived in California, you know,
sad.
But, you know, this is a fox or a wolf prophesying over another wolf so that the sheep can hear
it.
And say, oh, we have a pastor now. We have a man of God. You know, he's over us. No, it's a wolf. That's what this is. All right.
That's right.
Then I can't do anything in this area unless I inform my man about it. God gives men and women stewardship of regions and purposes and plans for seasons. And I declare to you that World Changers Church and this apostle and this woman of God now are coming into a dimension of stewardship, not only of this church, but of this entire region. And apostolic grace is coming upon them for the message of the grace of God in the body of Christ.
Now, if you watch that video, which I'm watching, I have the privilege of watching it, the place is empty.
So you're
blowing smoke. First of all, you're going to command the region. You can't even command the building. Who's in there? I'm looking at this thing, and you know, I mean, it's not the crowd
very
it used
sparse.
To be. Right.
Right.
Sure.
He can't even command Atlanta, the area around the church.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I'm not a Larry Reed fan. I don't promote Larry Reed or encourage people to watch him, but Larry Reed's got more people than Creflo Dollar.
He sure does. Just the people that follow him online.
Sure. He's got 10,000 people on Patreon.
Yeah.
Right? So Mm-hmm. He's got more people than Creflo, and he doesn't have the overhead Creflo. He doesn't have to put on the air conditioning that Creflo has to put on. See, the church has changed. The church has gone viral.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, and it caters to the kind of people that we have today. There are people who are Laodicean in nature. They're neither hot nor cold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a church, right? You know, that's a church right up the alley.
Right.
That's what it is. So, okay, so Larry Reed, maybe Larry Reed doesn't get the money Creflo does when you talk about tithes or offerings or whatever, but Larry Reed also doesn't have the overhead.
No, he sure doesn't.
So, you see, because when, let's say if Creflo takes in a $20 tithe, as an example, a $20, okay, 15 of that goes towards lights and air conditioning. And Creflo makes out with 5.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, Larry may get a $10 offering, not a 20, a $10, but Larry keeps 9 and only gives up 1. So Creflo keeps 5, Larry keeps 9. Who's ahead of the game? Larry.
Right.
See? See? And so also when you don't have – when you have buildings like the one Creflo's got, you got to cut that grass. And I'm pretty sure it rains a lot in Atlanta, and that grass grows high.
Mm-hmm. You got to maintain the building. Just general
right. Things
that go wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. A roof. Who knows? Maybe his roof needs to be changed. That's a massive roof. That's millions of dollars.
And it's a dome, so it's not
right. Easy
to repair a domed roof.
No, and you have also you got to paint that thing, and there's insurance,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they may come. The insurance agent may come to your property and see a few concrete tiles that are buckling, and he says, "Hey, this is." Somebody trips you, you're going to get sued. We require that you fix this.
Right.
Right? I mean, and you got to jump on it. So it's a constant hassle. And the old model, look at McClendon. He's the old model. People are tired of people like yeah. McClendon. They're just tired.
Right.
That because you look at him, he's as greasy as Reverend Ike.
He sure is.
I mean, he's greasy. You know, people are tired of that. They don't want that. So when you bill his name like, you know, we got Elvis at Las Vegas, at the XYZ hotel, people ain't coming. McClendon's no longer a draw.
Nope.
Past his heyday. But he's an old prostitute. He's an old prostitute that will come in, you know, and whatever you give him, he'll take it because he still wants to be relevant. He still wants to have his calendar filled with whatever engagements he can get.
Right.
And here he is talking about regions. Well, I mean, all these knuckleheads
we've heard before.
Right. We're going to take this region. You ain't taking jack. You haven't taken anything. Right? I mean, there was a guy that came on our church prayer line and he was saying, I take authority. Dude, you didn't take authority over anything. They're silly. This is silly talk. I take authority over this situation. Are you kidding me? I used to have a friend. He's now somewhere in the Caribbean. He moved, him and his family moved to the Caribbean. But he was a guy, he was always taking authority. Always, and he had a five-year-old son, he couldn't control. The five-year-old would tell the mother and the father what to do. I mean, the kid ran the house. The kid was obnoxious. Mm-hmm. The kid was a little Damien, and you know, like in The Omen, that kind of Damien.
And then
this guy would get up taking authority. Dude, take authority over your five-year-old. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're stupid? You can't even put your kid on timeout. He's got you and your wife on timeout. And you getting up there and taking authority over principalities and powers, I mean, I can't take that stuff. It just annoys me. And that's the lingo. That's the verbiage. That's the verbiage. I'm taking authority. Man, please, shut up. Be quiet. You're making a fool out of yourself. So here's Greasy McClendon. Let's see what he's got to say.
Then I can't do anything in this area unless I inform my man about it.
God can't do anything in an area until he informs his man about it?
Right.
Mm-mm. No, God is sovereign. God is sovereign.
It's some kind of scripture that they're taking out of context about before how God informs his prophets before he's going to do something. I forget how it goes, but I know it's a scripture that they're bending and twisting.
He has to inform them because they're going to inform the community.
Right.
The prophet is the instrument that God uses to inform the community. That's the way he set it up. Right? It's just like, mm-hmm. if you want to know what the government is doing, wait for the daily press conference. Then the press secretary will come out, and she will tell you what the president did today and what he's planning on doing tomorrow. That's why you have a press secretary. The press secretary is like the president's prophet. They tell you what's happening and what's going to happen. That's why people watch those press gatherings religiously, because they want to know what's going on. So, mm-hmm. of course, God is going to reveal it to his prophets because that's his means of revealing his will to his people. But that God has to wait on a prophet to do something? That's asinine.
Nope. Plus, he's already told us what he's going to tell us in the scriptures.
That's it. So, again, another greasy preacher.
Do anything in this area unless I inform my man about it. God gives men and women stewardship of regions and purposes and plans for seasons. And I declare.
No, God does not give men stewardship of regions or air. He gives them stewardship of the word. And I'll read a scripture to prove it. Or,
okay.
Sister AJ, do you have a Bible in hand?
Yes, I do.
Okay, if you can read 1 Corinthians 4:1.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Amen. The mystery, stewardship of the gospel, stewardship of the parables and their meanings, stewardship of the New Testament prophecies, such as Revelation. That's what we have stewardship over, not regions.
Right.
The word, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's what we have stewardship of, not of regions. Because, Sister AJ, how many preachers are there in Atlanta?
probably thousands.
Thousands. So you mean to tell me God picked Creflo? And then
you probably got others, several more that think that think the same thing that Creflo thinks, that he's a regional governor or something.
Right. See? It's the same thing with Roman Catholicism, and not that McClendon is pushing Roman. I'm not saying he's pushing Roman Catholicism, but it's the same idiocy as Roman Catholicism in that they say, "Well, you're the bishop of this diocese, and you're the bishop over this region," and then what happens to the region? The region gets neglected. The region people fall through the cracks. Why? Because no one man can manage a region. God will never give a man a region. It's stupid.
No.
This is why when Paul and Barnabas, after establishing these churches, they didn't say to themselves, you know, we're over this region. No. The Bible says they went to every church and they established elders.
That's right.
So that those elders can manage that local church and be stewards of the mysteries of God. So this, again, like you said, they're using this as a setup. That's all they're doing. It's like, remember when Eddie Long fell? Weeks before that, they brought that other clown from the Bahamas. They brought him in, right? That's the playbook. Mm-hmm. You bring somebody in, and he'll prophesy greatness, or he'll prophesy, you know, here comes a storm. Of course here comes a storm. Eddie knew what was coming.
Yep.
Right? So they bring some clown in to prophesy, to get the people to stand behind the Lord's anointed, and all of that is just a lie. That's what it is.
Declare to you that World Changers Church and this apostle and this woman of God now are coming into a dimension of stewardship, not only of this church, but of this entire region. And an apostolic grace is coming upon them for the message of the grace of God in the body of Christ, nationally and internationally.
See, the place is empty. This guy is what Paul calls a vain talker. His words carry no weight, and the man is just making a fool out of himself. That's, you know, he's just playing the fool. Because that's what he is at this stage. He's just a fool. It's called World Changes Church. You can't even change Atlanta. I remember
He can't even change the situation of one woman catching the bus 20 miles to get to his church. Wow, he's asking for a $65 billion jet.
Right. You see, that's people don't think anymore, Sister AJ. They swallow this stuff hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing those cameramen can do is listen to this guy's or record his message and, you know, have the camera look at the audience. That's the worst thing you can do.
Because it's pretty empty in there.
It's pretty empty.
Definitely not the old days.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And I'm pretty sure now Creflo's regretting the fact that he sent all those people that came to his church from Eddie Long's, that he sent them back.
He sure is. He can use that tithe money now.
He can use it right now. Right now. Right now. So... yeah, now we're supposed to believe he's got the whole region.
Mm-hmm.
The whole region is his. And by the way, define what the region is. Just don't say region. Can you give us a map Can you show us where it
starts?
Yeah,
I don't
where
understand what that is. Georgia,
right.
The Southeast, I mean, the Dirty South. What? I mean, there's so many regional things that he could have dominion over, whatever it is he's saying.
Right. Absolutely. So who knows what that means?
It means nothing, really.
Sure. Sure. Precisely.
But it sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good. But again, I'm looking at the crowd, and it's pretty empty. Pretty empty is more.
Now, you know this, but the Spirit of God told me to speak it. And Dr. Dollar, I'm going to give this to you, sir. I'm going to ask you just to come, if you would. And Sister Taffy, I'm going to ask you to come, if you would. And I am going to ask you, sir, by permission, may I speak a word to the both of you? May I? Thank you, sir. I want
you- Dude, that's what you were hired to do. That's the contract.
Right. That's what he was brought in there to do.
Right. Why is he there? He was brought in for this. That's why he was scheduled to come. And Creflo mm-hmm. told him, listen, I need you to do XYZ. Going
right.
in an email. I need you to cover all these points. That's what he's doing. Now, how much you want for that? How much do you want? And there's a price. And Creflo
yeah.
said, the check's in the mail. The check's in the... And by the way, I'm going to go get you on my jet. I'm going to go get you.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
That's, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. This guy's in California. One's on the West Coast, one's on the East Coast. Listen, you ain't coming down unless you getting a Balaam kind of offering.
Yes.
These guys get big money. Big money.
Yep.
Big.
Yes, they do.
Big.
Mm-hmm. Clarence this, may not get as big as, say, a T.D. Jake, but I'm sure he does pretty good.
He does very well. Because the other thing that Clarence does is, and they all do this, they're at Creflo. He's at Creflo's tonight, but he'll be at four or five other places. And by the time he
yeah.
cuts out, man, he is. Oh, by the way, these guys want cash only.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it that they get a percentage up front and a percentage of the love offering or something, how they do it.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing is this. When you go into the back room and the money is split, the pastor
mm-hmm.
keeps the checks.
Okay, and they get it.
Yeah,
the
McClinton don't want no checks. He wants cash.
Right.
I get the cash. He gets a certain amount, and it better be in the offering in cash, and if not, Creflo has the balance of the cash, but he's getting all cash. This is money they do not report. This is money that does not appear in their tax returns.
Okay.
See, that's the name of the game. And what's going to happen in the future, is when they go to that digital currency, all this
all
comes
that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All
everything
of it comes
is monitored.
There you go. That's why they want the cash now, because they can see what's coming. See? They can
mm-hmm.
see what is coming. And it's not pretty.
No, it's not.
It's not pretty. And these guys, they're used to a certain lifestyle. And they're going to find a way to keep it up. They're going to find a way. They're going to find
they're
a way.
Useful to the, they're useful to the devil, so he'll probably keep some of them in business.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, here's more.
I want you to stretch your hands towards the angels of the house. And I asked the Lord this morning, I said, God, do you want me to say this publicly or do you want me to say it privately? Because I can say it to the man of God privately. And he said, I'll let you know when you're finished. Because I guess he didn't want me to get nervous prophesying to this man of God, this woman of God, who are now seeing your statement. Stretch your hands toward him and pray in the Spirit. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, Dr. Dollar, that because of your humility, because of your integrity to my word, because you have taken a no-nonsense approach to my things and wanted to make them real and simple and authentic to my people, I have honored you. And I will continue to honor you, but I will raise you now this day in the sight of all the body of Christ. For you have been humble and you have said, no, Lord, it's not necessary. I don't need this and I don't need to say that and I don't need to call myself that. I'm just your servant. But the Lord says, I have made you an apostle in my kingdom, an apostle of faith, an apostle of grace, an apostle in the body of Christ. And did I not say, my son, because you have integrity and because you look to the integrity of my word, but did I not say, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Understand, you do not take the title and mantle of apostleship for your sake, but you say it so that the grace of that apostleship can be imparted and received everywhere you go. For you have seen, and you even inquired of me not long ago, says the Lord, you saw the generals leaving, you saw this one go and that one go, and you inquired of me, Lord, what is this? And the Lord says, it is because there is a new day, something better is coming, and I have made you a steward of my grace and an apostle of this message. Understand, my son, though you do not want the ceremony and you do not have to have a big to-do, you must embrace the office and not be ashamed of letting men and women call you an apostle, for an apostle you are. This you know, and I confirm it this day in the sight of many witnesses, that you may know this is not something you take upon yourself, but something I have given, says the Spirit of grace, for my body worldwide. In the name of Jesus, if you agree with that word and you receive it, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to open your mouth. I want you to shout unto God, because something better is upon you now. And receive the apostle, Dr. Creflo A. Dollar. Somebody shout, an apostle of the grace of God. An apostle of the grace of God. Now you understand this. He's not one because I said so. He's one because God said so. But as a prophet, I have been sent to confirm the word of the Lord. I want you to shout one more time and thank God for the apostle.
The chickens are clapping after the wolf has been enthroned.
Right.
Yeah. Tragic. And he goes, you don't need no big to do. In other words, you don't need to do what Fred Price did. but you're an apostle. Wow.
Apostle,
I mean, that is
so. Apostle of the gospel of grace. Like God's been waiting all this time for Creflo so he could be the apostle of grace.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, those all lies. All of that. That's one big lie. But
it looks like the people were going for it, and that set the tone for what Creflo was eventually going to do next, because all of that is planned. You know.
Sure.
This was back in February when he brought Clarence in.
Right. Yeah, again, deceived and being deceived. It's never ending in these places. People are deceived and being deceived. And
it just goes on and on.
It goes on and on. But, you know, like any other ministry that is made by man, produced by man, they will eventually come tumbling down. I mean, look at Jim Baker. Look at the stuff that Jim Baker has to sell every day. Think about what the pressure he's got every day. He's got to go out there and prostitute himself. If it's snowing, he's got to go out and prostitute himself. If it's 120 degrees outside, he's got to go. You know, he's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, you know, at the same time he's talking to you about the rapture and how we're going to be taken out of here, he's selling you buckets of food for the rapture. And people can't put it together.
He's hedging his bets.
Sure. And it's just so sad. It's so sad. Yeah. With the way things are, you know, it's just sad. Just sad. But, you know, that's the church today. And I also believe, you know, that TBN and, you know, TBN is not what TBN once was.
Oh, no. Not even close.
Right? Because when Paul Krause Sr. died, all of the begathons and all that really stopped. Matt realized they had more money than they knew what they can do with. So, you know, he's just living large. He doesn't want to do what his supposed father did. So he's just,
right.
You know, he's just eating the proceeds, enjoying the proceeds. And doing a little thing here and there, but not really wanting to, you know, run a full-time network. Look at the other guy from Daystar, Marcus Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I mean, he worked himself basically to death. Right? Is Daystar the same? Mm-mm. No. It's not the same. Everything is on the decline. All things apostate are on the decline. They're all on the decline.
Right.
And people are looking for the genuine. People are tired of the games. They want the real. And these guys, they're a tired act. McClendon, he's a tired act. I mean, you know, he's a throwback. He was good in the 80s. Not anymore. People don't want it.
The Lord did say that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. So the ones that really want him, He's gonna fill them, but this other stuff. So what we're probably seeing in a lot of these places are the goats, not the sheep.
Correct. Correct. So it is what it is, you know. It is what it is. And people just don't want that garbage anymore. So, yeah, they're clapping. The people that are there are clapping. And, what is Creflo going to do? He brought the guy. The guy set it up. The guy did what Creflo told him to do. Can I get your permission? Apostle, may I have your permission? don't play us like that. Don't play us like that.
What he said was just a bunch of mess. Like, womp, 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 womp. He may as well have been doing that.
Exactly. Because, again, when I asked him, okay, what's the region? And why did God just pick him? Right? And none of the other, listen, none of the other, like Jamal, you think Jamal Bryant is going to say, yeah, Creflo's, he's in charge of this region?
He's the godfather or something.
Right. No, it's not happening.
I don't think E. Dewey Smith or Baby Jakes, what is it, John Gray, he's in Atlanta now, you know. There's a bunch of them down there.
Right. No, none
of them. Andy Stanley is not that far from there. He's in one of the suburbs of Atlanta.
Sure. And the other one, Larry Reed says, what? Over this region?
His bishop is Bernard Jordan.
Right. Sure. So, no, this is just, again, like you said, this was the setup for the change that was coming. That's all that was. It was a setup. All right, I got the audio that we were doing last week. Which was
the
very
misunderstanding.
Yes. Oh boy, we misunderstood is right.
Right. Who misunderstood, us or Creflo?
Right. Absolutely.
But we left off at the 28-minute mark last week.
All right, if I can bring it back to like 20. Can I bring it back to, like, 25?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me bring it back just a little bit so we can get the thread.
All right,
here it is.
I never met too many churches that had even 10% of the people in their church tithing. It was like the rest of your church knew something was wrong with this, and you kept pushing it, and you were pushing hard for only about six or seven percent of the people tithing anyway, because they said, I don't understand. I don't know about that. Y'all don't know about that. And it turns out they was right. Whew. Is that the same Creflo dog? What happened? I'm growing, honey. I'm growing. Glory to God.
You mean to tell me you were pooping in your diapers for 30 years? And now finally you're toilet trained?
I guess so.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. What a lame excuse. I'm growing.
And of course, we know the process of sanctification and our walk with the Lord is a lifelong thing. But, see, Creflo has been preaching for 30 plus years or so. He's not just the guy sitting in the pew not bothering anybody.
Listen, there's a dome sitting on that land. How did that dome get built? By scamming people. That's how it got built.
Everything that he has, everything that you see, his house, all of that, is
right.
Because of scamming.
There you go. And he's growing now? He's growing? It's absurd.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd. But you see, the people are so gullible, they're clapping.
They're applauding,
you know,
this.
Yeah. You scammed us for 30 years, but now you're a reformed criminal. We're so happy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Jesus does not teach tithing. He challenges the Jew to tithe with the proper attitude. So what about the Apostle Paul? Let's look at the Apostle Paul right quick. As a former Pharisee, Paul, former Pharisee, a former person who lived under the law, we would expect him to advocate tithing. He lived under the law. He was a Pharisee. But when Paul taught giving, he never mentioned the T word. Never. Now, if you think it was such a requirement under grace, why did the guy who got the revelation of grace, why did he never mention the T word? Now, you'll even hear grace people say to you, watch out for those preachers who talk about, you know, you shouldn't be tithing in church, something wrong. No, you better go back a little bit. Either you're living under grace, or you're living under the law, or you're living on a mixture. And nothing happens when you live under a mixture of law and grace. Let's see what Paul had to say. Let's look at this in NLT, all of them. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. Look at what Paul had to say. Now, regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the church in Galatia. Verse 2, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. When I come, I'll write letters of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems appropriate for me to go along, they can travel with me. So he didn't mention the T word there. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19. Well, this is kind of boring. When are you going to shout? No. We need to get taught. When you done had something wrong go on the inside of you, you got to teach that thing out. So you can shout after I say amen. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19. He said, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. He didn't say anything about T-word. Look at 2 Corinthians. Well, homework. Go home and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Both of them talk about Paul's instructions on giving, and he never mentioned the T-word there. He did not mention the T-word. But let's see. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And, you go read it. Read it yourself. Give you a little something to do. Galatians 6 and 6, and then I'll go on. Never mention the T word. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. He didn't mention the T word. Why not? Why didn't Paul mention the T word? Obviously, Paul did not want new Gentile believers to be tempted by Judaism. He didn't want new Gentile believers to be tempted by Judaism, which operated under the law. Here's a new and a living way. And so what happens, keeping the gospel pure without adding Jewish rules was his constant concern. Under the law, rule-keeping was the administrator of morality. In other words, if you keep all of these rules, it should produce a better type of person. It failed miserably. So now rule-keeping has been replaced by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost now is the administrator of morality. and he starts working you and changing you from the inside out. He takes away your old want-tos and give you new want-tos, and you waking up one day trying to figure out what happened to that thing I used to want to do. The Holy Ghost has been working in you, and he does not want to mix. He does not want to mix and add Jewish rules to this new and living way, to this gospel of grace. I got to thinking about this. This blew my mind. There was a question that was asked in Acts chapter 15. Let's go verse 5 and then verse 28 in the New Living Translation. There was a famous Jerusalem council. Remember that? In Acts chapter 15. That decided if the Gentiles had to adhere to Jewish law. And the answer was a sum total of no, which means they didn't have to submit to Jewish law where tithing is concerned. Look at this. I'm going to read two verses, Acts 15, 5, and then verse 28. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of Pharisees, they stood up and insisted the Gentiles' converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. And so they took this amongst the council to see, all right, should Gentiles have to live under the law that was specifically given to Jewish people? And they talked it over and looked at it and so forth. And verse 28 says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. Go to the next verse. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood of the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. And if you do this, we good. Farewell. And I break down what the answer was. No, you don't have to keep Jewish law, which includes the law of tithing. Just do these three things, and we good. The Jerusalem Council decided that. And now the church in the world decided against what the Jerusalem Council decided. The law was a part of tithing. When something is a part of the law, it is a part of the law, and it's demonstrated because there will be a blessing and there will be a curse. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Yeah, Malachi.
Now he says, the whole church is teaching law. Yeah, but you were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He says it like he's
always
out of that group.
He avoids that he's not a part of that and was a big part of it for many years.
Yeah,
but,
for all the years that church stands there.
Right. But the one thing I wanted to point out or ask about with 2 Timothy, a couple things here, or 1 Timothy, that scripture you read out of there, I'm thinking because he's getting ready to shift how he teaches the giving thing by saying that giving and giving of your wealth is a demonstration of your trust in God. I don't think he's got to that yet, but I'm thinking that these verses here were probably a setup for that whenever he gets to it. So that it's like it's still, you got to do something, especially financially, to show that you love and trust God. Is what he's getting to, which I don't see why that's different than what he was doing before.
Sure.
He's just using different scriptures to justify it.
Right, right. At the end of the day, Creflo wants your money. See?
Exactly.
See, this is the thing. If I was on the stage with him, I'd say, okay, Creflo, so you mean to tell me that right now, according to your teaching, grace means that I can come here and never give again? And he would say, oh, no. No, you got to come and
right.
give something. Okay, so then I'm still under your law.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because,
right.
again, not that we're going to be stingy and we won't help out the work of the Lord, but you see,
right.
Creflo is still going to get his money.
Right.
And he's going to make sure of that. He's going to make sure of that.
And most people, I mean, have estimated that at least about 80% of what the money that they take in never really leaves the church. It goes for various expenses, salaries, upkeep, and of course the pastor and his lifestyle, especially if he's a crooked one. But, you know, just
right.
in general, most of it is used to pay bills. But
right.
they're making it seem like, you know, that you do this so you could have a in the storehouse and all this stuff that he's taught, that you could get God to do stuff for you because you're giving this money. Creflo is acting like he wasn't one of the ones teaching that all these years.
Right. That's the point that I tried to make before when he said, the church has been taken. Wait, the church? Leave the church out and say, I've been teaching this. That's
very
real repentance.
Very rarely would he say, I.
He right.
has rarely said that, maybe once or twice, and even then it's just kind of in passing.
Correct. Correct. So, look, it's not like, okay, tithing was wrong, and from this point on, don't ever give again. No. He's still going
to
get the tithes. The only thing is we're going to agree not to call it a tithe. But he's getting his
10%. That's it. And he's going to get more than that because of this. He's going to get more than the 10%, which they were doing that anyway, because they would say you got to give the tithe first, which is a
correct.
Requirement, and then the offering. You know, so they were always getting more than 10% of people's income.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like saying, okay, chickens, don't bring me any more eggs. Don't donate any more eggs. Well, the chickens say, and why not? Well, because I'm having you for dinner. Right? I mean, I got one better. I'm having you for dinner. So
even better source of protein.
Exactly. Look, this guy's a joker. He's a clown. He's laughing up. I'm watching him and he's laughing.
Yes. That
he's
look
laughing.
Never leaves his face.
Yeah. He's got him good. He's ripping these people off. And he knows it. He hears the applause. He hears them laughing with him. And he says, I got them in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't never left.
Like lambs to the, like hogs to the slaughter.
That's right. That's right. All righty. Here's more.
Oh, Malachi. Oh, Malachi. Go to verse 8. Do it in the King James. I want to do it in the language that we've heard all our lives. Okay, King James. All right. Will a man rob God? I mean, you've heard of Malachi. If you've been in church at any time, will a man rob God? Watch this. I don't want to rob God. You want to rob God? I ain't robbing God. That's already set me up. Will a man rob God? What the world? Yet, he says, you have robbed me.
You robbed God.
But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. I should be ashamed of yourself. That's where the shame come from now. You done robbed God. You're a bunch of crooks. If you don't give your tithe, you're a crook. robbing God. Well, Pastor, I want to set up a counseling session. Do you tithe? Well, I have a gift. I want to sing in the choir. Do you tithe? Do you tithe? Because if you can't sing in this choir, you ain't tithe. Because we're not going to have a bunch of robbers sitting up there robbing God with some robbing anointing coming through the airways. It's fear and guilt. It keeps religion alive. Now watch this. You are cursed. Kiko. With a curse. For you have robbed me. You have robbed even a whole nation. Next verse. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Now, I'm going to show you a little bit later on. We equated the church with the storehouse. The church and the storehouse don't equal. The storehouse was something that was built because the temples didn't have enough room to store all the tithes, so they built granaries. The church is not a storehouse for granary. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. You see, under grace, the window has opened. Jesus has come out the window. The blessing has been dispensed. Lord, forgive me. But in those days, you know, in the preaching circle, now you can't say nothing. That's too off from what everybody else saying. You got to stay right there in the boundaries of everybody else saying that. Now you can't say that now. And I figure since I have been excommunicated 3-4 times, I'm good. I'm already out of the boundaries. It's just me and Taffy. Taffy's still my friend. I'm good. Because, see, Taffy can do some stuff for me that can't none of the preacher can do for me. You understand what I'm saying there. I really thank God for that. You understand? Bring it to the storehouse, girl. You know what I'm saying? Watch yourself. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's it. Clowns in the church. Clown.
Right, and he's mocking Malachi 3 in the way that it was always taught, and everybody's just laughing. It's like, my goodness, he taught this.
He taught this,
and you all are laughing like, you know, Creflo was never a part of this.
Right.
You've been duped again and again.
The thing is, you're 30 years out of money. 30 years.
The ones that's been there from the beginning, boy.
Right.
They would probably cry if they sat down and figured out how much money they actually lost.
Right. So, this is tragic. But the people listen. The people are eating right out of his hand.
Yes, they are. And as far as being excommunicated and other preachers not talking to him, Creflo is scheduled to be at Kenneth Copeland's annual conference coming up, and I haven't seen anything where Kenneth has disinvited him, so he's still going.
Right.
Anybody would cut him off, it would be Kenny.
Right. But here's the thing. Nobody's excommunicated him. Nobody can excommunicate you out of a church where your name, you appear as the president
of
the corporation. No, who excommunicated him? Nobody. He's an isolationist. He, on purpose, chose to be a word of faith preacher.
His own little kingdom.
That's what he chose to do. Nobody's excommunicated him. He suffered no wrong. No harm. He suffered, you know, nobody's excommunicated him.
No.
Please. This is who, three or four times. Okay, name them. Tell us when. When did it happen? Never.
And
never.
As far as invites to other churches, he still gets those. He probably doesn't do it as much as he used to, but it's not because he's falling out with anybody. Some guys just get to where they don't want to do that as much anymore.
Right. Absolutely. When I was young, I would hop on a plane and go around the world. You could mm-hmm. listen, you couldn't. There's only one place I would like to go back one more time, and that's London. But it ain't to see nobody. It ain't to hang out. I just want to go to some old bookshops to see what I can find.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if someone say, hey, come to London, we want to hang out. Sorry. Come on, let's see Big Ben. Sorry. Come on, let's go see Westminster Chapel. Sorry. If I'm going, I'm going to find books that I've been looking for years. If it ain't that, I ain't going. Which means
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go from one bookstore to another and stay in those basements through. I go through every single book in there, and I'm going to do that until I board the plane. That's my only reason for going. I've seen everything
mm-hmm.
already. I've seen everything. So other than that, I have no reason to go anywhere. I have no reason. So,
right.
All right, let's see what Corporal's got to say. He's over here getting all stupid and nasty talking about him and Tappy.
Yeah.
Which is uncalled for, by the way.
Right. He was getting
that's
a little carried away.
Yeah, that's uncalled for. That's just nasty. Okay.
How do you even use this if you're no longer under the law, but under grace? And Galatians says that Jesus has taken, he became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham, of knowing that he's the possessor of heaven and earth, he gave us his son, that he'll give us everything else. He took the curse from us. Don't you let nobody tell you you cursed. You are not cursed. You are blessed. You got Jesus in your life. You are blessed. You are blessed. Come ye blessed of my Father. You are blessed. Don't let nobody tell you you curse. And some denominations say, well, you know, all black people are cursed because of the mark that he put on who that? Ham. And so it spread it, and that's how you made black people. You better shut your mouth up. I ain't nowhere in a war. I'm cursed. Hallelujah. I'm too blessed. Glory to God. I can't even spell curse. Let's see. K U N I V A BACHATA. I'm blessed. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. I'm blessed when I go to bed. I'm blessed when I wake up in the morning. I'm blessed. Not because of something that I have done, but because the possessor and heaven and earth had decided to release his grace upon me. And even if I didn't deserve it, and because I didn't earn it, he decided to bless me anyway because I believe. Hallelujah. And now all of a sudden I'm going to be cursed because I don't get 10%. I'm going to give because, you know, if you give, it'll be given unto you. But
so there it is. I'm going to give.
And the Lord's grace, it isn't. The blessing there isn't just about material blessing. It's eternity.
No.
It's our salvation,
right.
Reconciling us back to God.
Absolutely. Just like in 1 Peter 2, I think it's 4, or about the second chapter, maybe the ninth verse somewhere there, where it says that by his stripes we're healed. That number one healing is spiritual healing,
mm-hmm.
not physical. But spirit doesn't exclude the physical. But
right.
primarily the healing there is the healing of your soul. How you are made born again. That's the healing there. And 1 Peter 2, could be 9, if memory serves me correct. Somewhere about, I know it's in the second chapter, 2:8, 2:9. But, yeah, I knew Creflo was going to say, oh, I'm going to give. Oh, I'm going to give. Of course you're going to give. That's how this thing is kept open.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he isn't really giving.
I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. I'm blessed when I go to bed. I'm blessed when I wake up in the morning. I'm blessed. Not because of something that I have done, but because the possessor and heaven and earth had decided to release his grace upon me. And even if I didn't deserve it, and because I didn't earn it, he decided to bless me anyway because I believe. Hallelujah. And now all of a sudden I will be cursed. Because I don't get 10%. I'm going to give because, you know, if you give, it'll be given unto you. But you're telling me I got to give 10%? Even Jewish people gave more than 10%. They gave almost 20-some percent or more. And I'm cursed because I didn't give 10%. That don't match nothing. But the law. But we're not under the law. We're under grace. So how much is enough?
I found an excellent illustration. I think it would help you. It's a little... I'll give it to you and you decide what you want to do with it. Okay, you ready? If 10% is the standard, then consider what happens to, give me a name, Johnny Blue. If 10% is the standard, then consider what happens to Johnny Blue, a new believer. You just met him at Bible study on Wednesday night for the first time. Johnny Blue earns $806 per month take home. About $9,672 per year, probably below the poverty line in America. To tithe, he would have to give $80 each month, leaving him $726 to live on. And rent for his modest apartment was $500 per month. His teenage son lived with him. And he took care of another son on the weekend. What we call him? Johnny Blue? Johnny Blue heard his pastor teaching on tithing, and on the next Wednesday, he asked Sister Ann, should he give 10%? And she said very skeptically, I couldn't. He said, I couldn't make it if I did that. Now, would you advise Johnny Blue to tithe? Yeah, based on what we all been taught, you would. Because you were taught that that was the magic pill. And real magic pill was just, I'm dependent on God. And I'm going to give what God tell me to give. Because if he had a problem with the tenth, what was that widow's
woman gonna do? She didn't have no 10%. She just had a widow's mite. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody in the place.
Okay.
So you got another dude who lived across town. He earned $250,000 a year.
Like Adam, he was a growing believer who wanted to honor Christ. If he gave 10%, that would leave him with $225,000 for living expenses.
Now, is my $250,000 friend off the hook if he tithes?
Most of us would say, yeah. He should do more because, I mean, check him out. He makes $250,000. Look at what he's giving. Well, that's what makes it so perfect.
No. And here's another thing I thought about.
10% belongs to God, and the rest is yours. God better not even think about asking me for no more.
I done gave you yours. Now leave mine alone.
Many Christians are content to tithe, thinking that they're obeying the Bible. 10% for the Lord and 90% for me. So how much is enough? If the New Testament is silent on tithing, does it offer some other guidelines? I think so. Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Let's look at it in the NASB. Luke 21. Verses 1 through 4. The familiar story of Jesus observing the rich men and a poor widow woman putting their gifts in treasure. And so Jesus said to the woman, Jesus said the widow woman put in more than all, even though she gave only two small copper coins. Now why would he say she gave more than them all? Scripture says because she gave out of her poverty, she gave out of her living, whereas the rich gave out of their surplus. Jesus commended the widow woman because her giving affected her lifestyle. If we give only out of surplus, we've missed the point. You should be giving out of your living. You shouldn't be giving out of your savings. You ought to be giving out of that pot that you buy your groceries with, and it's out of your living. This is going to impact my living. I was preparing my offering this morning, and I had an amount, and I thought to myself, this ain't doing. It's not moving me. And I thought, if what I give doesn't move me, it probably ain't going to move God either. Watch this. So Jesus commended this widow woman because she gave out of her lifestyle. He said she gave out of her living. They gave out of their surplus. It didn't move them. It don't move a millionaire to come in church every Sunday and give $100. You can tell he didn't pray. He ain't asked God for no wisdom. On God's requirements, you go and say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And don't let poverty infect your hearing. I don't know what God said, but I ain't got $5, so that's what I'm going to give here today.
No, you got $1,000 you was planning on going shopping with. Give $500 out of your living. It's been happening.
You see how he flipped the script?
Yes, I did. Yes.
See?
Yes, indeed.
Right. So now he's going to get more out of them.
Right. Talking, and they've always used the widow's mite and that scripture to say you should give even more. The 10%, that's just to get started. It's the same teaching.
Correct. Correct. He just changed. You notice how he said, when I was putting aside my offering this morning, he said, this doesn't affect me. I better do more.
Right.
So and he's insinuating
you're not doing anything if it doesn't affect your lifestyle like it did with the widow. But
right.
What was Jesus really talking about? He was talking, I mean, wasn't he alluding to sacrifice and an example of how God gives, like his only begotten son, for example?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, Creflo is a master at the switcheroo.
Mm-hmm.
See? You think you're winning. It's like Bernie Madoff, right? Bernie
yeah.
Madoff, you gave him some money, and he gave you some money back. You gave him some money, and then he said, keep investing. Now, what we're going to do is, it's been good, right? You've been getting. Okay, now let me recommend for a bigger payday, just keep giving and don't get back for a while. So what happened? That's how he got you.
Yeah.
Because you were getting good in the beginning. You were
right.
getting good, right? It's like it's like the young couples that come to me, right? They I don't do this anymore like I once did. This was many years ago, but people used to come to me for counseling, okay? Oh, she cooks good. She does laundry. She does, you know, okay, is this the one? Yeah, Pastor, she's so good. Even her mama's good. Oh, the mama gets me over here. Her mama cooks, blah, blah, blah. So he's getting tag-teamed by the mama and the daughter. Okay, they get married. He calls me. Something happened. What happened? She ain't cooking no more. She ain't doing laundry no more. You've been set up. See?
Mm-hmm.
You've been set up. And who set you up? Her and the mama.
Right.
Her and the mama. See? And that's what Creflo's doing now. Creflo said, first of all, Creflo already, he already stripped them clean. Stripped them clean. And he's going to do it again.
Right.
He's going to do it again.
Packaging up, putting a different package on it, but it's still the same thing he's always taught. Give above and beyond the 10%. So bountifully so you can reap bountifully. He's
there
doing the same. I don't see what's different.
Nothing's different. Because the bottom line is he didn't give you a year of jubilee. I mean, you're not
no.
even getting one year break.
Nope.
He wants your money, and he wants it
yep.
consistently. That's what he wants.
Yeah,
all
right,
here's more.
Every time I give the way God wants me to give, it ain't a week that go by that he don't bring it right back to me in my face. But you ain't going to know that because it's a relationship thing. God, what do you want me to do? And what moves you? He's been too good to me. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. I ain't never going to have to worry about nothing because he's able to take care of me. So I'm going to express my confidence in his ability to take care of me. Yeah, I'm going to get this. How you going to ever know if he's going to be able to take care of you? And what you going to do when everything else fails? When you playing religious games, do you know him for yourself? And do you believe he can take care of you? All right, get used to it now. Let him start taking care of you now.
Says the man standing on top of the pyramid scam.
That's right. It always works for him.
Sure.
But he's not really trusting God. He's trusting in his ability to con and manipulate the people.
Right.
And he has good reason to trust it because it's worked all these years.
Absolutely. Look, when you have brainwashed people week after week after week,
mm-hmm.
they go back at it again.
Yeah.
Back at it again. Nothing's changed. And he's doing it with a smirk like, look at me. These fools don't even get what I'm doing.
Right. Yep.
It's amazing. So, boy.
I done took the T word out of things. Some of y'all still scared. No, I depend on God. He will take care of me. We start building this building. Over $20 million. We start building this building and had no idea where the money's come from. I went to the bank. I said, we need to get a loan. They laughed. You ain't getting no loan. She said, you ain't getting a loan. Ain't nobody going to give you the money. And God had already told me, don't go to the bank and borrow none. I went anyway. I couldn't see how. And when she got up in my face, you know, back in the day, I think it was CNS Bank. Now I'm telling you, ain't nobody going to give you that money. I was like, oh, Collie Park going to go. Don't spit in my face now. You need to back up now. I'm saved, but I ain't that saved. You know, I just got saved yesterday. And man, she hurt my feelings. And God said, I told you I'm going to do this. I said, all right, God. All right, fine. I just got a question. Being facetious with God. We ain't got no money. How we gonna get started? What are we going to do? How are we going to start? He said, get started. I said, we ain't got no money. Now watch God. He said, how much does it cost to dig a hole?
Yes, sir.
So we dug a hole. We got started. We dug a hole. Didn't cost a dime. That hole was dug debt free. Sometimes God just wants you to get started. Sometimes he just wants you to crank the car up. Sometimes he just wants you to put it in drive. Hallelujah. I believe we got a picture of that. Brother Chris, you had your foot on a shovel. And he didn't charge us for his foot. And it started rolling in. And it kept coming. And we kept growing and learning stuff. And we moved in here. Not to a building that was just prayed for, but it was paid for. And all the way today, even with other churches and properties around the world, the ministry is totally debt-free. We owe nobody nothing. We didn't need to get no PPPH and loan or whatever them things were. We didn't need to get none of that because we had already lifted our hands up before God that he would take care of us, the possessor of heaven and earth. And that's what God wants out of all of us. Let me take care of you. Pray about what you want me to do. And I tell you,
we did like this widow woman right here. There were times we gave it all away. If God didn't move, we were going to have to move. But the wisdom of God told me. I didn't do it. Well, you know how we do. Well, if you did it for them, you would do it for me. Not necessarily. They had a revelation. God told them to do it. You heard the testimony about them doing it. And now you tried to do something that you heard testify, but you ain't got no revelation from God himself. Breakthrough doesn't come just from reading the Bible. Breakthrough comes from a word. When you get a word from God, not just a word of God, but a word from God. And when God and wisdom shows you how to do something, ain't no devil in hell gonna be able to stop. Second Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 7, what did the Apostle Paul say? Paul exhorted Christ's followers to abound or increase in generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, he said, but just as you abound in everything, he said, you abound in faith, you abound in utterance, you abound in knowledge,
and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired with you. See that you abound in this gracious work of giving also. Increasing that giving also. A quote by C.S. Lewis, he said this. He said, I'm afraid biblical charity is more than merely giving away that which we could afford to do without anyway. In other words, giving away your junk. People used to do that with church. Let's take the junk up to the church. We don't take no junk. When we stock our clothing area, some of those clothes still got tags on them. We look at your raggedy junk, it's reject. We can't take this. You want to bring your raggedy furniture? We can't take that. We out of church, y'all are supposed to want everything. No, we represent the kingdom. We operate in a spirit of excellence. We're not just going to take your junk. You're going to throw your junk away. Don't give it to us to throw it away, because we certainly going to throw it away. Now, right along here now, some of y'all feeling, I don't want to hear this prosperity gospel. You better get your thinking right. This is more than prosperity gospel. This is a declaration of dependence upon God to take care of you. Because I promise you, there's coming a time real soon where you're going to need somebody like God to take care of you, because ain't nobody else going to be around to take care of you. And I'm just trying to show you how to get taken care of, and I'm trying to show you how to get your bag when you need it by trusting God and not trusting systems and men that's going to let you down. How is it that God healed you, God delivered you, God saved you, but then he ain't got nothing to do with you where physical, natural things are concerned? He wants to meet those needs as well. Something must be crackerjacking your head that you think God just wants to sit back and let you be homeless and suffer. And no! He's not that kind of God. Where you just preaching it for your own benefit. Listen, I'm not going to apologize for being blessed, but believe me, I'm blessed. I keep trying to give it away, and it keep coming back. I keep trying to get rid of it, and it keep coming back. I don't know what else to do. I done tried to act poor, but it just won't do right. I remember when I was giving, I gave some jewelry away. And it wouldn't stop coming back. I had jewelry coming from all over the country. I'm like, my God, what are we going to do? They bought big boxes of jewelry. And I just shared it with my staff, but now I'm giving it away again. And it kept coming again. And I'm like, how we stop this? There were people getting married. I said, you bought the ring yet? Got something for you. I want to give because I'm motivated by a God who won't stop giving to me. He gives me healing. He gives me peace. He gives me love. He wakes me up in the morning. He gives me the money to pay my bills. He just won't stop. He won't leave me alone. He keeps running me over with his blessings. I ain't trying to. I gave 150 cars away. And the church gave me an appreciation service. I don't know how many years ago. How many years that was? 20-something, 30 years ago? 151. 100. Oh, I don't even know how many cars we gave. We bought so many cars for people. And he told me to come to the stage. And there was a Rolls Royce came out there. And I fell out. And then I thought, oh, Lord. These colored people are going to think I stole money. These colored people are going to think I stole money and bought a Rolls Royce. And half the colors are in the room. Y'all see that y'all giving it to me? I kid you not. A week later, my sons came together. We had the gathering of our sons come together. And they said, Dad, we got a surprise. What is it? Walking outside, it was another Rolls Royce. I told Tepa, I said, I'm scared. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do. I could not even receive from God because I was so in bondage to people. I was so scared with people there. And so I gave the first Rolls Royce, I gave it away. Because I was on, I was doing interviews, I think I was on 2020. And they said, so you have a Rolls Royce? And I said, yes, but I'm giving it and selling it and giving the money to the children's ministry.
And I thought that was satisfied. And guess who talked to me immediately after the interview? God. He said, I gave that to you because I wanted to bless you. And you let people, Bundes, cause you to give away what I blessed you with. I felt so bad. I called my son. I said, listen, go find that Rolls Royce. He said, how? I said, go find it. I don't care what you got to do. Go around the nation and every state you got to, but you find that Rolls Royce. That was God's love that he was trying to show on me, and I let people, Bundes, help me out, and that was the year I got free from people, free from color folks, free from church folks. I got free from white folks. I got free from everybody, praise God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My God wants to bless you.
Now, he's been saying that for 40 years, but nobody there got nothing.
Right. And it's still the same old message of giving to get, giving because you trust God. He just packaged it up a little different. And the flip came when he read 1 Timothy 6 and 17. And then
right.
he got in the widow's mite, and then he got into
mm-hmm.
what he's doing now, the same old
right.
message of giving to get.
Right, right, right.
And give till it hurts. He hadn't said that, but that's another thing they preach, especially when they use the widow's mite, give till it hurts.
Mm-hmm. Right, correct, correct. Well, let's listen to more. The people listen. They're eating this up. They're
yes,
eating
they
it
are.
Up. Yeah. Yeah, he's got them in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's set.
Well, he's in their pocket more accurate.
Sure. You got that right.
I'm sorry you don't want to receive it. I apologize that you hate the prosperity gospel, but that's still not going to stop his abounding provision. He's going to keep increasing his provision on you. He's going to keep blessing you. He's going to keep turning things around for you. He's going to keep increasing you. He's going to keep healing you because he's Jehovah Jireh. He can't help it. He's going to do it anyway. I dare you to give him a shout. Give him a shout in here, somebody. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God is not going to let some sinner outlive you and you depend on him. But he couldn't do it because you were under law. Or you were missing law with grace, and it was holding back what he wanted to do. The motive can't ever be more stuff. The motive can't be, well, I'm going to do this so God can bless me. It ain't going to happen. The motive has got to be, I depend on you. I lift my hands to you like Abraham. And I will give any way you tell me to give because I have no fear that you are the God that knows how to take care of me. You gave me your son, and you told me I'd give you everything else you want. But I trust God. I depend on him. I don't depend on no money. There's a lot of things money can't do for you. I depend on him. What you going to do when money can't buy a cure because they ain't got one? What you going to do when money buy a house but can't turn it into a home? What you going to do when money can buy you a woman but can't buy you somebody that'll love you all your life? No, 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 no. You know what the love of money is? Is when you trust money more than you trust God. The love of money is the root. You know what he's saying? Your dependency and trust on money is the root to all of the evil that you'll see in your life. And some people trust money more than they trust God until they turn that money into their God, and now they've committed idolatry because they value money more than they value God. What you'll do for money
you just can't seem to do for God. You'll be on time for the job to get the money, but you can't be on time for church. You will spend time studying to get more money, but you won't spend time praying and letting God speak to you and give you wisdom. It ain't never been give a tithe and watch God go to work. That's no better than come on, Jeannie. This is always about love, for God so loved the world. Look at the reflex that he gave. And then you walk around telling how much you love God and can't figure out how to even go before God and say, Lord, I know you love me. What do you want me to do? And it could be in all kinds of different ways, all kinds of service. It's not always going to be in money. It's going to be in all kinds of service that you do for the Lord. And just because my last name was Dollar, I've almost been dismissed from the credibility of ministry. You hear Pastor Dollar? Oh, that crook! You don't even know, man. I'm saved for real. Cause if I won, I'm gonna bust you up on your face. If I won, I'd been buried you where I know where the bodies is. What you talking about? I should be a kingpin boss, but what you talking about? I would hurt you. But I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, fire baptized. But in the midst of all of that, they still haven't been able to put me down because God just keep loving me. Now you got to be ready. Because people don't understand the blessing on you. The blessing on you looks like you committed a crime. And God getting ready to bless your world changes to the point where it looked like you did something wrong to get it. I don't know about that. God is getting ready to bless you like it looked like you did something wrong to get it. And when they come and accuse you of doing something wrong, tell them like Abraham, I've already lifted my hands up before God that no man made me rich but God only.
Now, he keeps referring to that text there on Abraham, but Abraham said that while at the same time tithing. And again, I'm not saying that to substantiate the practice of tithing. I'm just showing how conveniently he likes to detach certain phrases from portions of scripture that have to do with tithing.
Right. And also, there was a time when Creflo didn't even teach that part that he's teaching now. He would just stop at the tithing part.
Right. Right. So, like you said, this is more circus, you know. I don't know if you ever seen the Charlie Chan movies. There's a character that I love in the Charlie Chan movies. His name is Birmingham. Okay. Oh, you're talking, they're black and white movies, 1930s, 1939, 1940. The character's name is Birmingham. The character's name is Birmingham Brown. And so Charlie Chan is the serious detective solving crime, and then Charlie Chan is the black guy that they put in the movie whose eyeballs pop out, and he's afraid of ghosts, and he's the one with, you know, who brings the comedy. And I love the movies because I love Birmingham Brown. I mean, he is a tremendous character. He adds to the movie. But that's who Creflo is trying to be. He's trying to be Birmingham Brown by making all of this a joke. And of course, he's
a minstrel.
Right. He's got people in his pocket because he's making them laugh, but at their expense.
Yes.
Because he's gonna get his money. He's gonna get it. Nothing's changed. Right?
Right.
Nothing's changed. All right. We stopped it at the 1 hour, 3 minute mark. 1 hour, 3 minute.
Okay.
We're out of time. Great show. This was again, I like to, you know, the sermons are, they just give you a window into what this guy's doing. And what
right.
he's doing, you know, is he's conning the people. This is a master's class on how a wolf cons people who he's conned for 30, 40 years. It's a master's class.
Yes,
that's
it,
what it is.
Is.
Yep. So you have the last word. Great show.
Just once again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. God willing, have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.